7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is going to be the breakdown for the New York Giants again, NFC East week. We have already recapped the Eagles and the Redskins. If you guys have not listened to those, do yourselves a favor and do that now. Or actually, after you listen to this. Also, we have coming up next episode is going to be the Dallas Cowboys. But again, this episode is the New York Giants. Again, if you guys, if this is your first time listening, please do yourself a favor. Like us, follow us on iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff. We are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can check us out on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tim, at Pony Keg Tom, also on our website, ponykegsports.com. And you guys can also check out our good buddies at CleatGeeks.com. Check them out. Message them on Twitter at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we're the ones that sent you. They have a bunch of articles, all that good stuff, draft stuff, baseball stuff. If you're into all that, please check it all out. So, with that being said, we are going to talk a little bit about free agency for the Giants, a little bit about fantasy. And
a little bit of everything, Josh.
A little bit of
you didn't even ask us how we were doing today.
The draft.
We're all pent up. We have a lot of energy.
Well, I'm watching you trying to open a beer underneath a sweatshirt. So
Tom made me. It didn't work.
Yeah, it was a little.
I was dropping stuff everywhere.
So let's talk about the Giants. Last year they finished 11-5 and 7-1 at home, which is a huge number. Same record for the Cowboys at home. On the road, they were 4-4. In the division, they were 4-2. So, pretty good year for the Giants. Again, they are coached by Ben McAdoo, and they have quarterback Mr. Eli Manning. Yes, the brother of Peyton Manning. And
wait,
yes,
they're brothers?
Yeah, possibly.
What?
Breaking news on the like Pony Keg Sports
Podcast. Adam Schefter never told me that.
So, some of the biggest free agency moves that they've made. So far, they've let a couple people go. They signed elsewhere. Robbie Gould, he went to San Francisco. They had Newhouse. He goes to the Oakland Raiders for a two-year deal, $3.5 million. Sensabaugh, he goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a two-year deal. And then Jonathan Hankins goes to your team, Tom, the Indianapolis Colts, for a three-year deal for $27 million.
Huge signing, and that's also a huge loss for the New York Football Giants.
Some of the signings that they've had this offseason. Chandron goes to the Giants. I thought that was a very underrated signing.
Love that pick.
Yeah, it's a one-year deal. It's a $1 million deal. It's basically virtually no money. But you get a running back that is a better version, in my opinion, than Shane Vereen, even though Shane Vereen is still on the team. So you kind of partner up with Paul Perkins there. I really like that. DJ Fluker, guard, he comes over from the Chargers to the Giants. One-year deal again, $3 million. Geno Smith as a backup, going to compete with the rookie that they drafted this year. We'll get into that a little bit later. But he comes over from the Jets for a one-year deal, $1.2 million. And then Brandon Marshall, he comes over from the Giants, two-year deal, $11 million. Keenan Robinson, linebacker, he re-signs, one-year deal. And then Rhett Ellison from the Vikings, four-year deal, $18 million.
Giants kind of went all in on the free agency last year, went on a spending spree and completely upgraded that defense. So they weren't very active in a free agency period this year. Their one big signing was Brandon Marshall, and it was a good signing. It's adding another weapon around Eli, a better red zone threat than they've had in that system for a very long, long time.
They did some things in free agency. They didn't do a whole lot, though. They didn't address their biggest need, which was the offensive line, in my opinion, at least not in a substantial way. So they're kind of the same old New York Football Giants. They're going to have a great defense, but they're going to be interested to see how explosive that offense really is.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that they didn't sign really anybody on the offensive line besides DJ Fluker. Ellison is kind of a blocking tight end, so giving him four-year deal for $18 million. We'll see how that plays out because they did draft a tight end as well. So it's a little interesting giving that much money to a backup tight end.
They don't really address the offensive line, and they don't really address the running back position. I feel like that's really going to come back to bite this team in the ass.
So, with that being said, enough of the free agency-wise. Let's move on to the draft.
With as bad as the Giants' offensive line was last season at protecting Eli Manning, I really thought the draft started out perfect for them. At the time they drafted in the first round, only one offensive tackle was off the board. And then they drafted Evan Engram, tight end, Ole Miss. The Giants, not really sure what their strategy is, but one thing I am sure about is that they are surrounding Eli Manning with weapons. It's by far the best set of weapons he has ever had. Evan Engram is, he's a wide receiver that's labeled as a tight end, in all honesty. Brandon Marshall is bigger than him. He's taller, weighs more. He's not your traditional inline blocking tight end, but Evan Engram's going to be that chess piece that Ben McAdoo can move around. He's going to create massive mismatches all over the field. He's that new age tight end in the mold of Jordan Reed. 6'3", 230 pounds, and runs a 4.4 40. Extremely fast. And as head-scratching as the pick was, I kind of get it in a sense. They're just trying to make it impossible to cover everyone on that field. We've seen that New York Giant offense struggle when teams can shut down OBJ. And I don't know if teams are going to be able to cover all the weapons that they have on the offensive side of the football now.
Giants definitely have a lot of great weapons, but Tom, the best ever. They once had a guy named David Tyree. You may have heard of him. But listen, I like the pick here. I do really think they should have gone offensive line. I don't get it. Listen, you mentioned it. How are they going to guard everyone? OBJ, Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram, whatever running back they decide to play at that time. But who's going to block Brandon Marshall? You don't have to worry about covering everyone if you're able to put pressure, and which has been proven you're able to do, make Eli Manning make bad decisions. He's kind of losing some of that zip on the ball that he's had in the past. So I love all the weapons, but Ben McAdoo, and is Ben McAdoo the offensive coordinator for them?
Coach.
And he's the coach, but who does he call plays?
I think
on
he
the
calls
offensive
plays.
Side of the ball. So Ben McAdoo is going to have to get kind of creative in the way that he works this offense. Get the ball out of Eli's hand quickly, or else he's going to get killed. Back to this pick, Evan Engram, I love him. I had him as the third overall tight end behind David Njoku. So a lot of people had him at number two. It is kind of a sneaky pick. He's jumped up on people's boards here the closer it got to the draft. So definitely can be a very effective, impressive tight end here throughout his career.
Yeah, I actually had Evan Engram as possibly the best wide receiver coming out for fantasy purposes. And then he landed on the Giants. And it's tough to see him producing big numbers when you have the likes of Brandon Marshall, OBJ, Sterling Shepard, Will Ty, and then Paul Perkins. He catches the ball out of the backfield, and then you have Sean Dron there and Wayne Goleman, Vereen. There's just a lot of mouths to feed on that offense. I see a lot of positives with Evan Engram. He's a better, faster version of a Marquise Colston when he was in college, drafted as a tight end. And then convert it to a wide receiver, because that's pretty much what he is, a very big-bodied wide receiver. So we may see that happen with Evan Engram when Brandon Marshall is done and gone. Maybe he transitions to the outside or in the slot or whatever, and we see him as a wide receiver down the road, but gets Eli another weapon, which is what Eli does need.
The Giants had one of the most improved defenses last season. Jason Pierre-Paul, Snacks Harrison, Olivier Vernon, Jonathan Hankins represented one of the best defensive line fronts in the NFL. The Giants had a big loss with losing Jonathan Hankins in free agency, so they needed to add a similar type of player, and they did that in the second round in drafting Dalvin Tomlinson, nose tackle, defensive tackle from Alabama. He's a run-stuffing D-tackle, hard to move, very physical, can blow up double teams. One of the most underrated parts of that Alabama front seven and defense altogether. He's not going to offer much in the pass rush department. That's not why they're bringing him in there. They're bringing him in there to pretty much stop the run game. He's going to almost force double teams. And the thing is, so is Snacks Harrison. So teams are going to have to pick their poison when trying to block this front seven. And it's a big deal that they got him in the second round. It might have been a little bit of a reach, but this is going to allow them to continue to do what they did last season and continue to be a dominant front seven in the NFL.
I love the name Snacks Harrison. I love it so much. I'm going to steal it and name him Snacks Stevens. Joshua, that is your new name moving forward. Delvin Tomlinson. I love it and I hate it. It's like, okay, you reached on your first two picks a little bit to the point where now there was no one on anyone's board on the offensive line that should have been taken at this spot. So it just proves that they did not address their biggest need at the proper time. So now they're in this spot. They have to take someone. Delvin Tomlinson is part of what I like to call the Ezekiel Elliott effect, right?
Yep.
That defense is so great. And like you said, though, Delvin Tomlinson is there strictly to be a big body, fill a hole, and hopefully help slow down the greatness that is Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, there was nobody there worth taking at that spot for offensive line. So kind of pretty much agree with you on that, Tim. There's just nobody there.
Thanks, Snacks.
Worth taking it. So, God, I'm going to punch you.
You already said you were going to hit me with a waffle iron earlier this week.
I want to see that.
So I'm going to call you Snacks, and I'm going to be okay with it.
If I can slap you in the face with a waffle iron, I would be the happiest person in the world. But besides that, again, they needed to address O-line, and, you know, there was nobody really worth it at that spot. So it makes sense. He's, again, not a pass rusher, but he's there to plug up holes and stop the run. So I like the pick. It makes sense, even though that they had to reach for it.
In the third round, the Giants continue to ignore the weaknesses on that offensive line, and they decided to take their future signal caller, Davis Webb from Cal. It seems like Webb's going to sit behind Eli for the next two or three seasons, kind of be that Jimmy Garoppolo to Tom Brady, but in New York. Davis Webb, he was getting some first-round hype. A lot of people were talking about him, saying there was a chance he would slide in the back end of the first round. So there was value in the third round with getting Davis Webb, and he quite possibly might have been the best player overall on their draft board. Davis Webb, he has a lot of tools, strong arm, accurate passer, can make all the throws, but he's going to need to work on his footwork and his pocket presence. He really struggled on film last season at Cal when there was any type of pressure around him. When there wasn't a clean pocket, you could tell Davis Webb was not the same type of quarterback. A lot of quarterbacks do struggle when pressure's there, but the way he struggles when there's pressure there, it's a glaring weakness that he's going to need to overcome at the next level. But he's going to get time to sit and truly be that backup quarterback and the next in the history for the New York Giants starting quarterbacks.
So it's funny when you think about Davis Webb compared to one Jared Goff, right? Former Cal quarterback, the guy who he played behind, I believe, at Cal for, 2 years ago? Did he play? Was he a freshman?
I think he transferred in after.
He transferred in after from Texas Tech, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so Davis Webb is kind of that prototypical quarterback that you want. He's got big hands, unlike Jared Goff. He's, you know, has all those physical intangibles that you want. When you think of an NFL-style quarterback, Webb is the type of guy that you think of, and Jared Goff is the opposite of that. And look at where they are drafted at opposite ends of the field. Listen, Webb's going to have a lot to learn. He's hoping that, you know, Eli Manning's going to be able to be there for another 2 to 3 years. He's able to learn. He's able to work with these great wide receivers. He has a young Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham Jr. and now Evan Ingram, who he can potentially grow with and grow into. That's, you know, a great situation for him. So good for Davis Webb. Good for the Giants. I love the pick.
I don't see Davis Webb becoming the starter, to be honest, in 3 years, because I think they may move on from that. We've seen it happen before with Ryan Nassib, right? They drafted him out of, where was he from? Syracuse.
Yep.
And they drafted him thinking that he may have been the guy when Eli was done in 3 or 4 years. This is now going to be Ryan's fifth year, if I'm correct on that. And we still haven't seen Eli retire. And Eli's, what, 36 years old? 35 years old?
I think he's 36.
36?
He is 36. He just turned 36 on January 3rd.
So, theoretically, you could think there's two to three more years left for Eli. Who knows in 2 to 3 years if Davis Webb is even going to be the guy?
So I like the pick for the fact that he could possibly be the guy that could throw him out there, but I don't think he will be, because in 3 years' time, they may be drafting another quarterback to be the new Ryan Nassib, the new Davis Webb. I don't think he's going to be the guy from 3 years from now.
Snacks, have you seen Ben McAdoo's mustache? Thing can predict the future. They see Davis Webb as the guy. Now's the time. Listen, they're going to draft another quarterback. Sure, they are. But intangibles physically and in his game, Davis Webb fills basically checks all the boxes. That's what you look for at that spot. Someone who checks the boxes. Now, what's going to happen in his learning process, his learning curve? How smart is he? Can he figure it out along the way? You may be absolutely right. He may be the next Nassib or whatever the hell that guy's name was from Syracuse. But as of right now, I love the pick. Good for you, football Giants.
In the fourth round, the Giants got some pretty good value. Got running back Wayne Gallman from Clemson. Very good pass-blocking running back. More physical than Paul Perkins. It'll be a nice 1-2 punch for the Giants. I really think Gallman has a chance to carve out a nice little niche for himself in this offense. I think he'll be a better goal line back than Perkins, and I think he's going to have some playing time this offseason. He's kind of going underrated right now, but I think it was an absolute steal in the fourth round getting this kid.
Yeah, I was the biggest believer in Wayne Gallman. I like everything about him. He's probably the best pure pass-blocking running back in the draft. That was pretty much what I saw on tape. He could block anybody. Doesn't matter if it's a DN, if it's a tackle coming in, if he's picking up a linebacker on a blitz. He's there, and he's there to pick up a block. Plus, if he is there picking up the block, he can shed the block, and he can go out to a screen or a check down pass. And that's where he's going to be very valuable for Eli Manning if he does get playing time. The only thing is they have a Sean Drown. They have a Shane Vereen. They have a bunch of running backs that are kind of like him. But he is a little bit better in the pass blocking. From the collegiate standpoint, we still have to see where he's at in the NFL standpoint.
The best thing for one Wayne Gallman is he's probably the third or fourth best running back on that team. But he is probably the number one blocking running back on that team. He's probably better at blocking than all five of their offensive linemen right now. So he's going to see a lot of playing time, in my opinion. They have a lot of wide receivers and weapons that they're going to have to get the football. They're in a very tough NFC East that's going to be a lot of high-scoring games, in my opinion. They have the best defense. So I think you're going to see a lot of Gallman here early in the season.
In the fifth round, they added some more depth at the DN spot with Avery Moss from Youngstown State. Was originally a Nebraska kid, but had some off-the-field issues. They go good value there. And the sixth round, they finally added an offensive lineman, Adam Bisnowaty. I've never heard of the kid, but he played tackle, left tackle, right tackle, and guard in college. Glad they finally seem to address the most glaring need on their team.
They address the most glaring and obvious need. I'm a moron, and I know that they should have addressed that pick years ago. What the hell are they doing? You wait till the sixth round? Listen, Adam Bisnowaty, I hope you go on and you have a fantastic career. Out of Pitt, you know, he was had a round five projection, so getting him in the sixth, you know, good for you. He played, he's a four-year starter at Pitt, so he has that experience. Hopefully he's a guy who can come in and play right away for them. But with that being said, New York football Giants, big, big, big failure in my opinion. Bisnowaty played tackle. He's right now projecting at the number three option at left tackle for the Giants, so I'm not a huge fan of what they did here at the end of the draft.
Yeah, chances are he's going to move inside the guard. It's kind of the same thing that we've seen with some of those top tackles that are a little bit shorter, a little bit, you know, shorter arms. He kind of falls in that same category. Was a tackle at Pitt. He's probably going to line up at the guard spot come time for his pro career. So maybe he carves out a role. If not, you know, it is what it is. Sixth round pick.
I just don't understand how you have a great defense that you've built up and has been a great surprise, right? They've drafted extremely well on the defensive side of the football, and you get one potential starter going into 2017 after that draft, and that's at tight end. I don't understand it with already a lot of mouths to feed on the offensive side of the football. A tight end that could be a playmaker but can't block, like we alluded to. I'm not a fan of this draft at all.
I think they got potential of three starters. Personally, I think Evan Engram will start. I think Dalvin Tomlinson's going to slide in there. And
I said on the, I was talking offensive side of the ball.
I think Wayne Gallman has a chance to start. In all honesty, some people don't think he's that talented. I like how versatile this kid is. You watch that Clemson offense, what this kid was asked to do. He's a very good football player when the ball is not in his hands. It is hard to ask for. A lot of these kids are greedy, selfish. This kid is not. He likes running people over. It looks like he enjoys blocking. He had to do a bunch of it at Clemson. I would not be surprised if Wayne Gallman's a starting running back for the New York Giants come week six.
I think you talked out of both sides of your mouth there a little bit, Tom. He is very, very good at what he does. I agree with you completely. But with that being said, they don't want to run. The starting running back is not going to be someone who can't run the football and just likes to hit people. That's an oxymoron. It's not true. It's not what's going to happen. Wayne Gallman will go out there when they're in their wide receiver, you know, when they need a blocking running back, second down, third down, and long. He'll be out there for that. He will play for them. I'm not saying he's not going to play this year, but as an actual running back, what that position calls for, I don't feel like he's going to take a ton of touches away from Shane Vereen, Paul Perkins, Sean Drone. He's the fourth best actual running back on that team.
You are absolutely nuts. Watch Paul Perkins' college tape. Watch his tape last season. He does a lot of things okay, nothing great. Wayne Gallman at least has things that he does great.
Which is blocking. And it's not running the football. Is it called the blocking back or is it called the running back?
Do you think Paul Perkins is an elite level running back?
No, but do I feel like Wayne Gallman's going to go out there and
steak dinner bet, Tim?
Fantasy value, fantasy rank.
Who has more fantasy points for the whole season?
All right. There has to be an injury clause here.
No. Quit being a little, you know what.
Fine, let's do it.
All right, lock it in. Wayne Gallman versus Paul Perkins.
All right, you have Wayne Gallman and I have Paul Perkins.
I will take
By far the worst steak dinner bet we have ever made here at Pony Cake Sports.
Trusting my
Snacks,
eyes.
Snacks, remember it down, put it in your book, your diary. I have Paul Perkins, he has Wayne Gallman.
All right, it's notated. So talking about fantasy football, let's transition away from the draft. We already know Tim doesn't like their draft. Tom likes their draft. I actually think their draft was pretty decent. I give it a B-, C-plus, like right in that category. I just don't think Davis Webb is going to be the guy. But he could technically be their franchise quarterback. They're drafting him with the hopes of him possibly being that guy. And he could be that guy.
Tom, what grade did you give that draft?
I'm going to give them a D because they didn't
get a starter
on the offensive line.
I was about to tear you apart. They say B minus. They had one position to fill.
In all honesty, I'm going to give them a B, though.
Shut up, Tom. You're just Wayne Gallman's coattails.
I really think they needed to add a startable offensive lineman. They did not do that.
They didn't. They didn't even add a backup offensive lineman. They added a backup.
I think they have three total starters in this draft.
If they would have drafted an offensive lineman, to your point, Tom, I would have probably put the draft a little bit higher ranking-wise. But, they didn't. But the thing is, I give them credit. They said before the draft that they did not think there was any offensive lineman worth drafting in the first round. And apparently that meant in the second, third, fourth, and fifth round, too. But they did say there was no offensive lineman worth doing that. And if that's the case, and if they felt that strongly about it, I'm not going to hate on them for taking the players that they wanted where they did and not reach for an offensive lineman if they didn't think that was going to be the best player for them. I'd rather have them take another playmaker as such a Evan Engram, and rather than take an offensive tackle where you may have to make them an offensive guard and a Cam Robinson, and you're actually reaching to get him because Cam Robinson was taken in the second round, you know, a little bit higher than some people thought. So it is what it is.
Josh, 76. The number 76. You know what the number 76 is?
No.
How many times Eli Manning has been sacked over the last 3 years? 76 times.
It's a good number.
No, it's not a good number. You don't address an obvious need. And it actually gets worse. The year before that, I'm leaving out the 39 total sacks that happened in 2013. It is egregious for the Giants to let a quarterback who has meant so much for their franchise, it's saying, hey, Eli Manning, you know what? We don't care if you die on the football field. We have Davis Big Hand Webb on our bench waiting to take your spot. It's ridiculous.
All right, well, that being said, let's talk about fantasy football for the Giants season this year.
So fantasy football, let's talk about one Eli Manning. So Eli, he is the number, where are we at here? Number 21 ranked quarterback in fantasy football. He went out, he had a decent year last year. He had over 4,000 yards passing, had 26 touchdowns, scored 224 points, 11 games at 10 points or more, two games at 20 points or more, no 30-plus games, which is not what you want to see out of a quote-unquote star fantasy quarterback. So Eli is definitely one of those guys. Again, if it's me, I'm not drafting him, a guy who potentially you could see on the flyer wire, you know, if that's what you choose to do with the quarterback position. But end of his career, like I mentioned earlier, has lost a little bit of zip on his fastball, if you would, but has a ton of weapons. The addition of Brandon Marshall should help. Odell Beckham Jr., when he's not punching nets, is great at football. And Sterling Shepard had a tremendous rookie season. Add in Evan Ingram, who is essentially a wide receiver. I like Eli Manning's chances to be probably around a top 20 fantasy quarterback this year.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Normally, Eli Manning is a startable quarterback, but last year he wasn't. And if you were relying on him, you had a bad year. Just with the amount of weapons they have surrounded him with, it's hard not to think that he won't be startable every week. The wide receiver core is absolutely stacked. They're adding in their own Jordan Reed. They've seen him torch their defense year in, year out. They got Evan Ingram. I like what they're working with at the running back, but that offensive line scares me. Most likely, I will not be drafting him at all, unless it's super late and I'm deciding to wait super late on quarterbacks. But at best, he would be my backup quarterback in the late rounds.
Yeah, same here. I'm staying away from him. Even though I think he's going to have a decent year with the addition of Evan Ingram and you got Wayne Gallman, you know, pass blocking.
Yeah,
and,
buddy.
Doing all that good stuff. And maybe Paul Perkins is the answer. We'll see what happens. But the thing is, I'm just staying away from Eli Manning on this one.
Look at Snack sitting on the fence. Throws Gallman and Perkins' name out there just so he's not. Look at a host of the mostest.
No, I'm saying that Paul Perkins, we don't know what he is yet. We only saw...
He's garbage.
Yeah, we only saw...
He's garbage. His father was garbage. His whole family's garbage.
So we'll see what happens. We don't even know if he can pass block, so we'll see.
Let's move on here. Listen, it's funny. Obviously, you have Odell Beckham Jr. I don't want to talk about wide receivers just yet. Let's move on to the running back position. And Josh, I want to start with you. Obviously, Rashad Jennings was kind of the most fantasy point scorer last year. 103.4 points for them, but he is no longer there. They have Paul Perkins. They have Sean Drone. They have Wayne Gallman, as Tom likes to talk about. I'm going to start with you, Josh, because we already know where Tom and I stand. What do you think is going to happen for the running backs in fantasy football value this year?
You look at Paul Perkins and his stats from last year. From the first pretty much, three quarters of the season, he didn't have he had one game that was 10 rushes or more, and that was week nine against the Eagles. He does catch the ball out of the backfield every now and again, two catches, three catches, one catch. The one game against the Vikings, he had two catches for 72 yards, so that was great for him then. But later down on the season, when he's getting all those carries, he's not getting the catches either. But regardless, 15 carries, 11 carries, 15 carries, 21 carries. The only game that he really produced was the 21-carry game, which he had over 100 yards. Those other games are all pretty much 68 yards and under. Those are not great numbers if you're going to rely on somebody to be your running back two in fantasy football.
Fantasy football. Listen, everyone. Don't listen to this steak dinner bet as me thinking that you should draft Paul Perkins. You should not. Paul Perkins is probably going to average around 10 carries a game, right? And while Wayne Gallman is maybe two or three. That's realistic. There's not going to be a ton because there's no offensive line there. They're not going to be a running football team. That's not what they're going to do. I mentioned earlier when Ben Mustache McAdoo is going to have to get creative on the offensive side of the ball. You're going to see a lot of different sets, I'm assuming, out of with those three wide receivers and that tight end. I would not draft Paul Perkins at all. Like you said, that he had 21 carries for 102 yards, but did not have a rushing touchdown last year. That's not someone that I'm even considering drafting when the offensive line wasn't addressed at all.
And remember, Shane Vereen at the beginning of the year started off pretty decent.
Oh, yeah.
He had 38 yards, 42 yards, 67 yards, and a touchdown. Those are okay numbers when he's splitting time with a Rashad Jennings. He's back from his triceps injury, and he, from what I've read, is he's fully healthy, ready to go. I'm just afraid that there's just, again, too many mouths to feed in that backfield to go along with the wide receivers as well.
I'm going to keep it 100 with all the Giant fans listening. Shane Vereen is not going to play football very long this season because he gets hurt every year. Paul Perkins sucks at short yardage and goal line situations. That is exactly why I think Wayne Gallman's going to dominate this running back group. I think he's a good short yardage rushing running back. He's going to fill that role. So starting season, he might only get goal line touches. But if he scores from 1 yard out, that's 6.1 points, baby. He's going to dominate in rushing touchdowns for the Giants. Yeah, they might only get 8, but Wayne Gallman's probably going to get 7 of them.
I will give you an example of why I am correct. This reminds me a lot of the bet I believe I had with Joshua last year, where I had one Matt Asiata, and Josh had one Jerick McKinnon. Very, very...
I had Asiata.
All right, so you had Asiata. I had McKinnon, and... McKinnon was Asiata came out to a huge lead in the beginning, right? You were up by like something like 50 points. I think McKinnon was injured and out a game or two. I think we had like a 3-game injury clause or something in there. And towards the end of the year, everything evened out. And McKinnon ended up coming back, taking the lead, and I remained undefeated in my steak dinner bets. It will be very much the same. Wayne Gallman is nothing special. He's going to get his share here and there. It's going to be a running back by committee. There'll be Shane Vereen moments. There will be Paul Perkins moments. Hell, Wayne Gallman might have to actually get off the bench and take a sip of water and run the ball between the tackles once or twice, but no one's going to overachieve in this system. Do not draft a New York Giants running back.
Okay.
Let's move on to the wide receivers, which is everyone's main interest when you talk about the New York Football Giants. So, the man of the team, Mr. Net Puncher himself, Odell Beckham Jr. You have him. He ended up leading a majority of last year. Ranked number four overall, I believe, in fantasy. Ranked number four, had over 1,300 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns, just a sea hair shy of 300 points. Over 11 games of 10 plus points. 4 games of 20 or more, and 1 over 30, which was actually 40.2. My goodness gracious, what a game for 32.2 for Odell Beckham Jr. So it was, you know, a year for Odell, who actually struggled at times. People were concerned he wasn't going to be that great. So props to Odell Beckham Jr. I still think he's the obvious number one, but it could vary.
Again, talking about the just under 300 point total, that is being included with the new stats for this year starting with PPR. So if you're going off of last year with just the numbers and not with the current ESPN standard, you're looking at just under 200 total points for Odell Beckham Jr.
The thing with OBJ, he's going to be drafted in the first round pretty much every fantasy league. Only thing I'm worried about him, I think last year he had 169 targets. I think that's going to drop. Maybe it's 15, maybe it's 20, but there's more mouths to feed now. They're not going to be forced to throw him the football all the time. That's the one thing I'm worried about with OBJ. But this dude can still create magic. He's still worthy of a first-round pick, but I think his chances of competing to be the number one or number two wide receiver in fantasy football are out the window right now.
Here's the only reason why I think you may be wrong. Now listen, Sterling had 105 targets. Brandon Marshall had 128 just under 100 points fantasy wise for the New York Jets, who were just obviously god awful at the quarterback position. With that being said, the Giants are going to have to pass the ball. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see 40 attempts a game on average out of Eli Manning, unfortunately for them.
Yeah, if Eli did that, his arm would fall off, and it's just not a viable option. They're going to have to run the ball sometime, and it may be in the shotgun formation. We're going to see a lot of running back draws. We're going to see a lot of checkdowns, and we're going to see a lot of Will Tye and a lot of Evan Ingram. So,
you know who's good in the shotgun formation? Wayne Gallman.
598 passing attempts for Eli Manning last year. My goodness.
Some of those targets that are going to Brandon Marshall, he's going to get close. He's going to get over 100, I think, are going to come from OBJ and Sterling Shepard.
If Eli is throwing the ball 598 times, there's a chance you could see all three of those guys 125 basically looks a piece plus.
But if OBJ goes 125 from 169,
sure,
that's a big drop.
That's a drastic drop. Obviously, someone's going to have more than others. Listen, I still think OBJ is the guy. I'm not a big fan of – I love Sterling Shepard. I love what he was able to do in his rookie season. Obviously, 8 touchdowns is phenomenal with only 105 targets. It's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out this year in New York. That's all I really have at tight end. I mean, obviously, we can talk about Evan Ingram if that's something you're interested in, but I don't feel like that's a huge fan. I'm not even considering drafting him at the tight end position.
Yeah, same here. I mean, as much as I love Evan Ingram and what he brings to the table, fantasy-wise, I'm staying away from him. The only fantasy-wise tight end I'm thinking about going for is not one of the top three that were even drafted in the NFL draft, so...
It is hard for rookie tight ends to succeed in fantasy football. Rarely do you see them hit 60 catches, 600 yards, and over 6 touchdowns. So if Evan Ingram does that, it'll be a successful year for him, and that would not be a good fantasy year. So it's going to be hard for all the rookie tight ends to succeed this year.
Yeah, the rookie tight end that Josh would draft that he's talking about is Adam Shaheen, Chicago Bears. I know you're in love with him, Josh.
Yeah, no, that's not it.
Oh, okay.
Listen in on one of the episodes in the NFC West episode, and I will clue you in on who that is.
Bum, bum.
Just saying. All right, where do we see our New York football Giants ending up this year? Again, last year they ended up 11-5, second in the NFC. Where do we see them this year?
They are going to repeat that 11-5 and win the NFC East.
My goodness gracious, Tom, really? They're going to win the NFC East?
Yep.
Listen, they start 3 of their first 4 games on the road. You're talking the Dallas Cowboys, they get that Sunday nighter again, followed by the Lions at home, at another Sunday nighter. Then they go to the Eagles, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do you know that they have how many West Coast trips this year, Tom? Not 1.
3.
Not 2. Not 3. But 4 West Coast trips this year. They have to go to the Denver Broncos. They have to go to the San Francisco 49ers.
Win.
They have to go to the Arizona Cardinals. Win. And to the Las Vegas, Oakland, I don't know where the hell they actually are, Raiders.
Lost.
This team, with no offensive line, with no running game outside of the great one, Wayne Gallman, that Tom keeps bringing up, they have a crazy person in Brandon Marshall. They have Odell Beckham Jr., who's on the brink of becoming Brandon Marshall. And they have drafted no one to help them block their aging quarterback. This is the year, and I hope I'm wrong, because I have Odell Beckham Jr. in our Keepers League, so I hope I'm wrong on this. The New York Football Giants are going to be 6-10 this year.
What?
Maybe even 5-11. You're going to see Eli Manning get hurt
for the first time.
No, we're not going to steak dinner bet records. Fine, you want a steak dinner bet? They won't have more than 6 wins?
Yeah, I was going to give you 8. But
all right, 8 it is. 8 wins for a steak dinner bet.
Deal. Wow.
So I have, what, 8.5? Or 7.5?
7.5.
So 7.5 is where it at. It's at. So 8 or more, Tom wins. 7 or less, I win. I have 7 or less. And not Wayne Gallman. You have Wayne Gallman and 8 more. The New York Football Giants fans, I'm sorry. I know you're going to be probably cussing me out because sometimes you're not nice people. But this is a turning point for your organization.
I have them at 10 wins. So I'm going to leave it at that. I don't want to elaborate anymore. I feel like Tim did a good enough job bashing them. So
I didn't bash them. I'm being realistic. Listen, how many times do you see teams go cross-country 4 times? A quarter of their season is traveling across country. There's a chance that they could lose to a terrible San Francisco 49ers team.
It's possible.
Just saying.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
So, with that being said, we are all done with this episode and Tim's rant at the end. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Again, if you guys have not checked out our other episodes, please do so. They are the Eagles and the, now I'm drawing a blank because now he's yelling.
Washington football team.
Washington Redskins. And then also
you
check out.
You asked me to bring the fire, Josh.
I know.
And he's keeping it 100.
Oh.
I never keep it 100, Tom. 100.
Also check out the another episode that's coming out in the next day or two. That is going to be the Dallas Cowboys. So Again, that's what we have for you guys for the Giants. You can check us out on Twitter, at PonyCake Sports, at PonyCake Tom, at PonyCake Tim. Also, email us, PonyCakeSports@gmail.com. You guys can also check us out on our website, PonyCakeSports.com. And, you know, like, comment, share, all this. Let us know what you guys think. We'll respond. And then also check out our buddies at CleatGeeks.com. Check out their Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Check out their Facebook, all that stuff. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you.
At PonyKeg, Tim, you angry, angry New York fans. Come at me, bro. 100.